Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay on Wednesday, May the 28th. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. First today, a petition has been set up by people living on an estate near Gravesend to try and get rid of their management firm. Residents of Springhead Parkway claim their bills have gone up, but the area has gone downhill. Well, Joshua Johnson moved there with his partner and their son 3 years ago. He's been speaking to reporter Ollie Leader from the local Democracy Reporting Service.
When we first moved onto the estate, everything was okay, and then it's just slowly over the years has been degrading. The maintenance of our public areas is terrible. The common land around here where they've planted the bushes and they're meant to maintain is not being kept. There's litter and dog mess that's not being collected in the parks. There's smashed apparatus, you know, broken swings which haven't been fixed for over a year now. And then there's just no transparency with First Port. Whenever you contact them, they never give a straight answer. They have, start of this year, they sprung on us a maintenance adjustment, which meant that we all were surprised with a £600 maintenance fee where we had a month to pay it just before Christmas. When we called, there was no explanation as to why these charges were being put forward. They were giving no evidence, and then they were being quite threatening as well, saying that, you know, they would take action if these fees weren't paid. So as a community, we got together and we decided to take action against it.
Because what does action look like? Because I know the MP is heavily involved. It's all about trying to get more control back over the estate, isn't it?
100%. So We came together as a community. Ashley actually reached out firstly on the Facebook group, kind of being a bit disgruntled about these maintenance adjustments. That kind of started a big kind of rally to get everybody together to meet up. So we met down at the local community hall, and we had a meeting. We laid out next steps. And at the same time, I reached out to our local MP, and they welcomed us in with open hands and couldn't help us more. So they've really helped us kind of move on the next steps with the petition, and then to get First Port off the estate, we need to get 50% of residents to come together and agree to remove them, and then Vistry, who is the constructor of the estate, will then take action.
Because obviously you're a family. With those additional costs, how much has it cost you with those additional estate management charges, the surprise bills being sprung on you at the worst possible time? How much did it cost you over the last few years?
We're looking close to over £2,500.
Yeah, for periods when we weren't even in the house.
Yeah,
as well.
So we're getting charged for 2 years worth of maintenance when we weren't in the property. We moved in, say 3 years ago, so 5 years ago's charges we're getting, and 4 years ago's charges we're getting, plus on top of the maintenance charges that we're already paying out for every year.
And have you spoken to First Port about this? What have they told you, or are they just impossible to reach?
They're very hard to reach. You can't get through to them on the phone. You only ever speak to someone that works in kind of an administrative role. The actual manager from First Port of this site has sent us emails in the past, but they're very dismissive. You know, they always paint a sunny picture, but all you have to do is walk around and see the park, see the smash lights, the swings that are missing, the rubbish, the dog mess bins that haven't been emptied. You look at, I know a couple of weeks ago they actually had started bringing the maintenance back, but it was starting to really make the estate look bad, and not wanting to go into the park with my son because it was dangerous.
That's awful. I think my last question is, how does it make both of you feel when you see the bills come through your door, and when you walk through what should be a really lovely place to raise a child, and then you look around and you see all these smashed up things? How does it make both of you feel when you see all of this?
Well, you know, take us back to when we first came and viewed this property 3 years ago, and the first thing we said was how beautiful the estate was. Very clean. We looked around the parks, it was great. And it's just slowly got worse and worse, and we're paying more and more money for what seems to be less work. And it just doesn't make you very proud to go into the park. And
we avoid going into these parks now. We'd rather take him somewhere else.
Ollie's also been chatting to local MP Dr. Lauren Edwards.
When somebody were to buy a property here, like on Springhead Development, as well as any other places around new developments, there is a kind of a leasehold management fee that they have to pay for the upkeep of the general area. Now, those companies have got, some of them have links to the main developer. So the developer in this instance is getting almost double bubble. There, you have to buy the house and then you pay a bit each year for the upkeep. Now, to begin with, those costs were quite small. But as the years have gone on, those costs have increased and have increased exponentially. And that has been the problem. Now, under right to manage, which is where you need 50% of the residents on this estate to agree to, this is hence why there's a petition, this means that the residents will have the right to decide how that money is spent and will be able to choose their own management company to upkeep the area.
And who is the developer here? Do they bear any responsibility for how bad it's gotten for residents?
So the developer here was Countryside and now it's Vistry. The petition is to Vistry to allow them to now choose not to use the current management company, but to use their own.
And Firstport, it's not just here. I've been in Dartford, I've seen it in Medway. I know Katie Lamb's been working on it all the way down in the wheel. So you wouldn't even expect there to be these sorts of huge estate management problems. It's not a Kentwide issue, is it?
No, you're absolutely right. Firstport have been plaguing communities and new housing communities across the country. And I joined together with fellow other MPs across the land to write a letter summoning them to Parliament to explain exactly what they're doing. And we are putting forward legislation that will tighten and hold to account these people in the future. But at the moment, this is the way that the residents of Springer Parkway can be free of these management companies.
As Laura mentioned there, this is a problem that we've reported on in other parts of the county. Earlier this year, we told you how Firstport had been axed from the Faversham Lakes development. They also had to freeze residents' accounts at the Shorncliffe Heights development in Folkestone after angry people forced them to investigate inconsistencies in their bills. Well, we've been in touch with Firstport and they've sent us this statement.
We recognise the importance of providing value for money for our customers, and we do everything we can to keep costs as low as possible whilst not compromising on the service we provide. Each year we estimate the funding needed to cover scheduled works and maintenance and share budgets with our homeowners in advance. The service charge is not a source of revenue for property managers. It is allocated to cover actual expenses incurred to ensure the smooth running of the property.
We've also been in touch with the developer of Springhead Parkway but haven't heard from them just yet.
Kent Online News.
A man who left three women injured in a head-on crash in Canterbury has avoided a prison sentence. John Spain's car was on the wrong side of Stone Street when it collided with an oncoming Land Rover in June 2022. The 64-year-old from Rectory Lane in Hythe has been given a suspended jail term and a two-year driving ban. National Highways has been urged to take action after a man died in a crash on the M20. The smart car he'd been driving went into the back of another vehicle near the Swanley Interchange. It was then hit by a BMW after crossing a grass verge onto the M25 slip road. Well, a coroner's written what's called a Prevention of Future Deaths report, detailing how the verge doesn't have any barriers to prevent another such crash happening again. National Highways say they'll review the report and respond before June the 12th. Operation Brock has now been removed from the M20. The contraflow was in force between Maidstone and Ashford over the bank holiday weekend to help deal with any cross-channel delays. The motorway has reopened after work overnight to remove the barrier. Firefighters have spent a second night at the scene of a recycling depot blaze in Gravesend. Around 5,000 tonnes of scrap metal caught alight on Crete Hall Road in the early hours of Monday. Crews say they're making good progress in tackling the flames. Anyone who's in the area is still being told to keep windows and doors closed because of all of the smoke. Now, life jackets have been delivered to children at a school in East Kent in memory of a little boy who died after falling falling into a river during a family day out. Six-year-old Lucas Dobson had tried to climb onto a boat on the River Stour at Sandwich in August 2019. His body was found 4 days later. Peter Folding is a search specialist and he set up a safety campaign with Lucas's dad.
Initially, the public raised £13,000. They had a GoFundMe. Bought around 1,000 life jackets plus water safety equipment for the side of the river. Once that money went, now this is purely funded by my company, Specialist Group International. We pay for everything now, and I use my helicopter to deliver the life jackets. I want to get water safety as part of the national curriculum. This is really important. They don't do it in schools. It needs to be part of the national system where it's just a half an hour audio-visual presentation, and that will make a big difference. Back on the 7th of February, we had the Princess Royal visit my company, Specialist Group International, where she recognised us for our work after 30 years. She was particularly interested in this campaign, the Lucas Dobson Water Campaign, and took a very keen interest. And Nathan Dobson and his little son turned up to actually meet the princess as well, and that was really fantastic. It gave us a big boost.
And just from the primary school campaign, what are the positive outcomes you've seen from it?
Well, it's so interesting because everyone's buying, mums and dads go buy paddle boards. The children then go home and say, this man came in helicopter today. He told us to tell you to wear life jackets. Well, this isn't just about children. This is about adults by going out on the water, not wearing a life jacket and drowning. And also teaches the children not to go swimming in lakes and rivers because that's where all the bodies are recovered from generally. Forget the sea. On a hot day, lots of children where there's lifeguards on the beaches, but there's nothing in the local area. There's no lifeguards on the river. There's hazards underwater. There's wire. There's mud. And it's really dangerous.
Thanks so much to Peter for chatting to us. Now, as you heard, the kit there has been given to St Faith's Prep in Ash and comes as Stats Today show that 5 people died from accidental drowning in Kent and Medway last year. David McKenzie is the deputy head at St Faith's.
I'm talking to parents in our school community. Lots of parents remember joining in that search and rescue effort. So we feel really honoured to welcome the helicopter and these life-saving equipment to us. I mean, lots of the children at St Faith's live in coastal areas and are out at the weekend engaging in water sports. We've got a school swimming pool as well, so that these water safety lessons are essential for the kids.
Will you and how will you be kind of using the swimming pool and the life jackets? Could you tell me a bit about that?
So we'll make use of these life jackets in our school swimming pool. It's so important that the children get the chance to try on the life jackets and experience just the impact they can have in the water and just how important they are. So we'll use them in that way and then have them as a fantastic resource for our families and the local community. We're really pleased to have been able to welcome our local school as well, Ash Cartwright and Kelsey, who are going to have their own set of life jackets. So it's been a really important community event as well.
And you can also watch a report on this story by clicking on the KMTV pages at Kent Online.
Kent Online reports.
A teenager has been charged by police investigating catapult attacks in Ashford. It follows reports a man was assaulted after confronting a suspect in Simon Avenue in February, and wildlife was targeted the same month. A 17-year-old boy from the town is due in court in June. A court heard how a Chatham builder smashed up a patio at a couple's home in Horling with a sledgehammer when he didn't get paid by his boss. Capello Moose had been subcontracted to install the paved area in May last year, but didn't get any of the cash after it was done. The 25-year-old from Heron Way admitted criminal damage and was given a suspended jail term. He's also been put on a tagged curfew. A search is underway for whoever keeps spraying graffiti around Snodland. At Kent Online, you can see pictures of the name Lorenzo that keeps appearing on property around the town. A new antisocial behaviour team is due to start patrols in the area. Police say they're looking into the reports. 2 cyclists have helped give first aid to a jogger who collapsed while out near Gravesend. The man suffered a cardiac arrest off the A2 in Shawn earlier this month. Andrew McCauley and Steve Chapman gave him CPR until paramedics arrived. They say it was lucky they found him on the rarely used path near the Inn on the Lake Hotel. Now, Thames Water, which covers parts of North Kent, has been fined nearly £123 million by the regulator Ofwat. The biggest ever penalty comes after investigations found the firm caused an unacceptable impact on the environment. It also broke rules around paying dividends. Now, just 2 weeks ago, the company's chair, Sir Adrian Montagu, gave evidence to MPs defending huge bonuses.
This business, like many businesses, needs to reward its staff effectively. We are in a competitive marketplace for staff. We do need to reward them competitively.
Meantime, campaigners are calling for water testing to be carried out at Kent's swimming spots all year round. Last week, we told you how experts will monitor the levels of bacteria at the coast during the summer season. Lizzie Creswell is from Surfers Against Sewage. She says we're not getting a complete picture of water quality.
So as, you know, a nation of water lovers, we get in our waters year round. So we swim, we surf, we paddle, we play, we kayak. And being able to understand the water quality and the impact it can have on our health is so important to us. You know, it's important to our communities to know when they're getting in the water, what's in the water, if it's going to impact them, if they can get in and swim without fear of getting sick, essentially. And without any kind of water quality testing regularly happening, it's difficult for people to know. They don't have access to that information.
We've also recently seen some protests along the Thanet coasts. Can you tell me a bit about these, why they happened, and what was hoping to be achieved from them as well?
Of course, yeah. So there's quite a lot of protests down with you. I know there was one in Viking Bay, I think, was one I saw lots of photos of. So the reason these protests are happening is because we're calling for an end to sewage pollution. And 2025 is a really big year for that. So there's the independent commission happening in England and Wales, where they're going to be reviewing the water industry, and that's led by Sir John Cunliffe. And they're finalising their recommendations for that in May. So we were paddling out to show that we need to have a transformational reform of the water sector, and that people can come out and use their voice to speak up for the waters that they love. And we want those recommendations from the commission to be really bold and ambitious. We want them to protect the public and the planet. And we want people to be able to, you know, talk about how much they love their waters, show that they're not going to put up with the immense amounts of sewage that is being poured into our waterways.
And obviously it's really important that the waters are being tested, but what more can be done to help protect our oceans and seas?
So with actually water quality testing, we want to call for year-round testing. We use the water all year round. We want to see like lots of different things being tested for, not just bacteria, but other kinds of chemicals, like forever chemicals, things like that. But beyond that, we just want to see an end to sewage pollution. We think that, you know, communities, citizens should be able to have a voice in how water systems are governed. We think the regulator needs to be strengthened. We think that environmental health and public health should be, you know, top of the political agenda, you know, and people shouldn't be, you know, profiting from pollution, essentially. You know, these, you know, polluters themselves shouldn't be able to profit from pouring sewage into our waterways.
And you can follow Kent Online on socials to see video of a wartime bomb being exploded on a Kent beach. Police and military experts were called after the device was discovered in a garden shed in Sheerness. It was safely detonated at Minster Lees Beach on Monday.
Kent Online reports.
Figures seen by the Kent Online podcast show the percentage of people registered as stem cell donors here in the southeast is below the national average. Only 2.3% of 16 to 65-year-olds in the region are on the database. The data's been released on World Blood Cancer Day, as experts say around 2,000 people in the UK are currently in need of a transplant. A new documentary filmed at the Port of Dover is going to be out next week. The Channel 4 series called Dover 24/7 follows frontline staff during a busy period last summer. It starts on Monday, the 2nd of June. Plans for house building across Medway are due to be finalised next week. Council bosses will vote on their local plan, which sets out developments for the next 16 years. It'll go to public consultation before being submitted to the government. We've got an update now on a story we brought you on the podcast earlier this month. You'll be pleased to know a Stroud man who'd waited 4 years for a dropped curb to be installed outside his home has finally had the work done. Michael Partridge got in touch with us to explain how he was being forced to break the law on an almost daily basis by bumping his car up onto a pavement to get to his driveway. Well, he's pleased that the saga is over.
There's something that I've got done at last. I'm taking 4 years to do it, though.
You never thought it was going to be done, did you?
No, I didn't, to be honest. After 4 years, I was thinking they, you know, ain't bothered, just pass you from one to the other.
When did you find out that it was going to be fixed?
yesterday when they dug it out.
Michael was speaking there to reporter Gabriel Morris. Dozens of jobs could be created if plans to turn a commercial space in Sittingbourne into a care home are approved. A company wants to demolish a large industrial building in Staplehurst Road and replace it with a 66-bed facility. The people behind it say 60 people would be needed to work there if it's given the go-ahead. And the idea of a land train on a part of the Kent coast has been discussed, with supporters saying it could really boost tourism. The miniature engines and carriages would run along the seafront from Deal to Warmer, similar to services already in Eastbourne and Weymouth. But following a debate, council bosses have said the project wouldn't be financially viable, so won't be taken any further.
Kent Online Sport.
Tennis, and Kent's Emma Raducanu is due in second round action at the French Open today. She's taking on defending champion Iga Swiatek. The 22-year-old from Orpington battled through illness to overcome China's Xingyu Wang in three sets on Monday. And if you head to the sports pages of Kent Online today, you can read the memories of some former Gillingham players 25 years after they were promoted to the now Championship. The side beat Wigan at Wembley in the playoff final at the weekend. Some of the players from that game are going to be back at Priestfield for a celebratory dinner. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on all of the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk, and whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.